Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Once of All. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Kristen, Karen, and Brittany. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, poor Brittany.
Sorry, this is coming to you live. I'm still recapping while we're recording this.
Yeah, so this is how, like, intense it is. Brittany's still rocking out the recap right now. So we're going to discuss the latest episode of Once Upon a Time, Enter the Dragon. I feel like there should be ninjas or something when we say that. I don't know why. So we're going to start off with thumbs up or thumbs down. For me, I think that this episode was kind of a thumbs up. Again, I feel like it's building towards something bigger, and there's not a lot going on. I mean, there's stuff going on in these episodes, but it doesn't feel enough to me. Like, I would like a little bit more. I do have to say that, like, the end of every episode has this little, like, ooh, hey, moment, and you're like, oh my god, what is going on? But, yeah, other than that, I mean, it's good, but it wasn't, like, blow my socks off kind of good. What do you guys think, Karen?
Pretty much the same thing, actually. I was kind of meh on the whole episode, just because I'm really not here for, like, Regina's current story, which I've talked about ad nauseum. But I do have to say the end of the episode way, way made up for it. So, yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up.
Okay, Kristen?
I was going to say, mine's very similar, where it's not as sideways as it was last week, but those last few moments make it a definite thumbs up for me, because if there's one character I've been missing, it's him. So that's all I'm going to say, because all right. I'm so excited.
Yeah. And Brittany, how about you?
Yeah, I have to say the same thing, because even now, I don't know what happened. Like, nothing happened for 40 minutes, and then, like, 3 minutes worth of, like, actual importance.
So it's going to be happened. Pretty rockin' recap you're working on right now, huh?
It's, like, well, first of all, it's going to be awful because I can't concentrate. I'm really trying hard. Yeah, I don't know. I liked the whole Maleficent being, like, a washed up rock star.
Yeah, her hair was pretty kicking, I have to say.
I don't know. It was okay, but definitely thumbs sideways. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it.
Okay. So let's move on to our favorite quotes. Karen, you want to start with yours?
Yeah, this isn't like, well, I'll just say it first, then I'll explain. It was when Maleficent was like, "Are you still a bad girl, Regina?" And Regina just goes, "The worst." And the reason why I liked it is for the delivery, for that sort of evil queen delivery that I have actually missed, despite really liking where Regina is right now, because Lana is so good at that. She is so good at switching between that, you know, Regina becoming good, and then the old Regina that was good, and this evil queen that is very, very bad. And even though, like I said, I don't like where they're going with this right now, I think that, you know, just bringing that evil queen back is a little nice to see.
All right, cool. And Kristen, as soon as Kristen put this one in here, my comment was, best line ever. So go ahead, Kristen.
Yeah, the second Jen passed us the doc link, I jumped in. Like, I was waiting for it because I was like, this is the best line ever and I must lay claim. It was what Regina said when all of the Charmings and Hook walked into the library. Regina says, "I said we needed to meet covertly. Now I see you brought the entire Charming softball team and their pirate mascot." Awesome. Just that was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty sastastic. Can I tell you, as soon as I almost went in and put that one in, because I was watching it delayed from you guys, so as soon as they said it, I just put it in, I looked, and you were literally typing it as it came across. I was like, all right, she can have that one. Mine is, from the favorite quotes, is from Rumpel in the past when he says, I know, a fire-breathing dragon. A little bit showy, if you ask me. Because he's a little bitter that Maleficent can become a dragon and he can't. Dark one or no, being a dragon's pretty cool, so.
I mean, when Rumpel is saying you're showy,
yeah,
saying something.
When Rumpel with the gold skin, in his gold lamel skin, is saying you're showy, yeah, that's definitely an issue. Brittany, do you have one or no?
Yeah, I guess my favorite line was the last line of the entire episode where they say, "Welcome back, August."
Yes, that's a good one. I will welcome back August anytime. Thank you very much.
I was freaking out.
Yeah, I thought as soon as they were like, well, he won't know, but the man, I'm like, the man, you're going to bring back the man, please bring back the man. So yeah. I was kind of excited about the part. Now, if we could just get ourselves a huntsman. He's probably not available, though. All right, so let's start off like we always do. We're going to talk about what happens in the past first. This is a pretty cool kind of storyline into Maleficent's background and some of the things that were going on with her. We don't know everything, but we do know some of the things. So we get a little bit of Regina, of course, being angry with Snow. And her and Rumple are talking, and Regina goes out to seek out Maleficent's help because, as far as Regina's concerned, Maleficent just knows how to get it done. She knows how to be evil. And then when Regina finds her, she's pretty much a hot mess. I mean, that hair, that, like, washed-up rock star.
She looked a little bit like Courtney Love. Like, just
yes,
kind of doughy-eyed and like, hey, guys, how you doing? She looked a little lost.
The crimper definitely got a hold of her hair. It's all good.
Yeah.
I loved it, though. I did, too. Like that.
And the like magical world's version of a drug habit. Awesome.
Yes.
True. And so they talk a little bit about Briar Rose at that point. And basically, this is why Maleficent's so broken up, is the whole concept that Briar Rose managed to be saved and got what she wanted. And so Maleficent's a little bit broken up about that. And so Regina wants to learn how to get revenge, and she encourages Maleficent to help her. So Maleficent admits that she really can't become a dragon anymore, which is kind of a huge deal. And they kind of go on this journey together. So what did you guys think about the whole, I mean, clearly the Maleficent in the beginning was, she's a little rough. But, like, Regina being the one to, like, convince her that she should go out and find her inner dragon again and all this other stuff. What did you think about those interactions with them?
Well, I actually have a question about this. Uh-huh. And I'm not, like, super familiar with the whole Sleeping Beauty thing. But, okay, in the show they said that Briar Rose was the one that Maleficent went up against. And her daughter is Aurora, right?
Yes.
So, but, like, in the fairy tale, aren't they the same person or no? Because I thought Briar Rose was like the original name for Sleeping Beauty.
Yes. I'm looking because yeah, she's also known as Sleeping Beauty. But in the Disney fairy tale, Briar Rose is, what's the word? Oh, Briar Rose. No, Aurora is in the Disney fairy tale, like the cartoon version of Sleeping Beauty. Aurora is the name of the princess.
Okay, so in the show, they're kind of making them into two different people, is basically what I'm asking. Okay, because I was like, I thought they were the same, but I could definitely be wrong, because like I said, not super familiar, but okay, I was just curious.
So now we have two different, So Briar Rose was the pseudonym for the princess used by Princess Aurora, but I don't know why they're making them two different people and how that's going to work.
I kind of like it. Honestly.
It confused me a bit too, but it sounds like the Sleeping Beauty that we all know is actually Aurora's mother in the show. Like, the story we know about the spinning wheel and all of that, it sounds like that happened to her mother, and now a totally different sleeping curse has been put on Aurora, but it's more to get Philip than it is to get Aurora. That's the way it sounded.
Yeah, but I don't know why she wants to get Philip. Because she said, I have something planned special for your prince.
Right. And I'm not entirely sure where all of that animosity is coming from, but...
So wait, who are Prince Philip's parents?
Good question.
Because that would make more sense that she's... I mean, clearly she doesn't like Briar Rose for whatever reason, because she's the original Sleeping Beauty, obviously. But I don't know. Right. So, I that's really curious, actually. So, more on that at a different time. So, from from, like, the point where Regina finally convinces Maleficent, they go to visit this burning tree, this tree she set on fire, and it's still aflame. And she basically tries to suck the flame back into her so she can become the dragon again. And while they're visiting the burning tree, King Stefan arrives, and it's Briar Rose's husband and Aurora's father. And he basically threatens Maleficent and kind of does this whole thing. And she has a lot of anger towards him as well. She really does not like him. I felt like it was a little bit more than the sabotage of her plan with Briar Rose. Did you guys get that feeling?
Oh, yeah. There's something else going on there. And I love the actor that plays Stefan. He plays an evil, evil, evil character on the originals. And so seeing him, like, pop up, I didn't know this was coming. And I was like, hey, like, I know you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it was definitely a surprise, but there's definitely more history there than just whatever she did with Briar Rose.
Right. And I'm still trying to figure out who the father of her child would have been, but I'm just throwing it out there. Because I got the vibe from there could be a little ex-lover animosity there or something.
Most definitely.
You know?
And, sorry, I was just thinking back to the Maleficent movie that just came out. Wasn't Stefan the one that betrayed her? Yeah, they were kids together and they were friends. Yeah. So I wonder if they could possibly be incorporating something from there.
From Maleficent into it?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That does indeed. Interesting. All right. So Stefan decides to take them captive. And while he does that, Regina's like, I'm not going down without a fight. This is not how this is working. So she burns off her ropes and tries to fight them. And then in the process, Maleficent decides that she should fight too. And she does manage to turn herself into a dragon. And then she spares Stefan's life, but instead she goes after Aurora. And she gives Aurora the sleeping curse. And from there, the last thing we see is kind of Regina talking to Rumple, saying that, you know, death isn't a good way to take things away from people. You have to take away what they love. And so basically that's how she learned that lesson, is she learned it from Maleficent. And that's what she applies to Snow White later on, is that she wants to take away the things that she loves, not doesn't want to kill her. It's not going to, you know, it's only instant gratification, really. But to watch her be miserable forever is way more satisfying. So I thought that was really interesting that that connects back to Maleficent and not Rumple.
I think the whole relationship between Regina and Maleficent is really interesting, because I never would have guessed that Regina was the one to help Maleficent sort of get back up on her high horse. And that makes their current situation and their current relationship even more complicated, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because I think underneath it all that they are friends in the sense that, you know, the only sense that two people who are as evil as they are can be. I think there's something special, you know, to their friendship that, you know, Regina doesn't necessarily have with lots of other people. All right.
And now I'm wondering if Maleficent is more interested in rehabilitating Regina than anything. Like, she was once down and out and didn't have what she wanted. And I'm thinking she probably has seen that in Regina and is like, how can I help her? Like, you know,
she wants
in her
to return
own mind.
The favor.
Right. And that's why I'm like, no, no, this is not okay. Every time I see them on screen together, I kind of freak out. So, yeah. But no, that's definitely interesting.
Is super interesting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what happened in the present time. We have Regina, who meets up with the Ladies of Darkness. They have busted into Granny's and are drinking all her liquor, which does not go over well the next morning. And they basically say they don't really necessarily trust Regina, although they definitely want her back in the mix of things. So Regina's on her undercover mission, which to me is still hysterical. And Emma is not pleased by this. She's very concerned about how dangerous it is and how Regina doesn't really know what she's getting herself into. Even though she knows these women, she doesn't necessarily know how to be undercover. So I thought that was kind of a sweet concern that Emma had, and that she was willing to, like, show how much she cared for Regina and her safety. What did you guys
think? And I think she's also just really, really concerned that having them around and reminding Regina of how much fun it is to not be good is going to be a really scary influence. So I can totally see why Emma's freaked out.
Especially yeah. considering Henry. I mean, Emma's always thinking about Henry and what all of this could do to him. And I think him feeling like his mom is really coming into her own as a hero is very important to him and close to his heart. And to see her slipping, you know, whether it's just a show or not, could probably be kind of scary for him.
Very true. All right, so this is probably one of my most entertaining parts of the episode. Cruella, Ursula, and Maleficent take Regina out in the car, and they're trying to prove that she can be evil. And so they basically go and play chicken with a train and say that the first one to rescue them proves that they're weak. Now, Regina sits in the car and lets the train almost hit them before she magics them out of the way. I'm not really sure what they were trying to prove there.
That was my reaction, too. I was like, all that proves is that she didn't want to die. It
right.
doesn't prove that exactly. she didn't want to not yeah. save you guys.
Well, not only that, where the hell did the train come from in town?
yeah.
Sorry.
Like Inception, it just shows up.
Well, that's the weird thing, because obviously the train has to be coming from somewhere.
Right.
But how could that
be? How does it cross within the border?
And it's not outside the town because nope. they couldn't cross the line without losing stuff. So
maybe Maleficent just magicked a train, like mm-hmm. on that little set of track. Like, I don't know. That's all I can think of.
I could yep. see that happening. That would make the most sense, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah, I was just like, I'm confused by this. I'm confused by the train. Like, it's pulling me out of the whole thing. But anyway, so she kind of, after that moment, they decide to go have some real fun. And my favorite, another favorite moment is Maleficent's idea of real fun is to toast the brand new cop car that they have.
And I love that Charming's reaction to it was just like, that's one of my cars. Like, he wasn't, like, visibly upset, really. No. It was just like, that's one of my cars. Like, what? Like, he just kind of looks at it like, what just happened?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And this is the first time that Regina tells them they can't just meet out in the open. They have to be more stealth. And, again, very just odd. All of it's just very odd to watch her be undercover. Then we see Henry, the one time we see Henry this episode, he's kind of searching through the book for clues, and he's very focused on this door. So, what do you guys think about that door? Have we seen it before?
I mean, all I can think of with the whole door situation is the door that Anna and Elsa went out, and how it just kind of, like, appeared in the mansion thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's not some sort of spell to find the door, because it clearly isn't just hanging out, I mean, somewhere in Storybrooke. I mean, it's not that big. They've been to most of Storybrooke now. So it makes me wonder if it's not hidden magically somewhere and it's just a matter of finding it, because I don't think we've, like, actually seen it in the flesh, like, seen it physically yet.
I think it's in the Mad Hatter's hat, though.
You think the door is in the Mad Hatter's hat?
Yeah, you know all the doors that are in his hat?
Uh-huh. I like this.
Yes, please.
That was something I was thinking about earlier this week.
That would be amazing.
Let's bring back Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, he's a wee bit busy right now.
He can make and, you time.
Know, the Winter Soldier and all, it's no big.
Just need a couple days.
All right, so from there, we go back to some Maleficent and Regina action. And this is Maleficent basically just luring Regina in with the identity of the author. And they kind of have a moment where they're talking about, you know, happy endings and how they need to get theirs. And the only way to get them is to defeat the heroes. And Maleficent's pretty adamant about that. But she's definitely playing with knowing the identity of the author. Do we think she actually knows, or do we think that it's just a game to pull Regina in?
And I'm not sure, but I think that Maleficent is playing sort of a long con here. I think they all are in a way, because Regina's trying to be undercover, and yet they know that she's up to something, and she doesn't know that they know that. And so they're all kind of playing each other. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Maleficent doesn't know as much as she lets on, but I can't tell if she genuinely wants to help her, like you were talking about before, Kristen, or if this is just part of that con.
Yeah, it really is a toss-up at this point. I mean, until we see what exactly Maleficent's goal is here. Like, we know supposedly what her goal is. We know what Rumple wants, but we don't know what her reason for sticking around and doing all of this is. So until we kind of get a clue on that, I think it's going to be, you're going to be able to see it from both sides of the coin. Like, she could be doing this to help Regina, or she could be doing it for her own, you know, other reason.
Very true. I don't know. I'll be curious to see more about that, because I like Maleficent in present day. I think she's cool to kind of watch and how she does things, you know, with her character. So I'll be curious to see how that continues to play out as we move forward.
Is she more powerful than Rumple? Or, like, can she at least go toe-to-toe with him?
I think to some extent she can.
Because I'm kind of waiting for her to betray him and to see that play out, which would be kind of awesome.
It would be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it? Oh, Rumple. Anyway, the mission that Maleficent and company send Regina on is to kidnap Pinocchio. And Emma has insisted that she help Regina, so she's following Regina around town. And when she realizes that they're at Pinocchio's, Emma slips inside to talk to Regina. And Regina says, you know, they're taking a playbook out of, you know, a play out of our playbook. They're working together. We have to take one out of theirs and not play by the rules. So Regina willingly kidnaps Pinocchio. So she ditches Emma and takes Pinocchio. And now Emma has no idea where they are. And that's not a good sign. Like, for Emma, that could be a red flag that something, you know, big is going on and that Regina is really becoming evil again, whereas Regina's just trying to figure it out and do the best that she can for everybody. Another interesting thing from that scene was that Emma's like, oh, my superpower has been going, you know, off the charts since they got here. Now, I would love to know a little bit more about this superpower, because I feel like it only works when it's convenient. And that's a really difficult thing for me, because it's such an inconsistency in storytelling. Like, it can't just be working when it's convenient because you need it for a plot device. It needs to work a little bit more readily.
Not a superpower if any time it actually would normally come in useful, she can't really tell. Like, that's not really a superpower. Like, when they need her to be able to see that someone's telling her the truth or lying, she seems to be able to. But clearly her parents were lying to her last episode, and she should have been able to tell.
Well, that's the thing, because I think her parents are kind of like her kryptonite, because she doesn't want to believe that they're lying to her. And so maybe, you know, her heart is kind of overruling her rationale.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just, it's weird. And it's such an inconsistency frequently that it really bugs me. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. And see, no, Regina also just lied to her, because Regina covered up for Snow and Charming and played it off like there was nothing going on. So my guess would be that all of this lying to Emma will come back, and that is what turns Emma evil.
See, and I was wondering about that too. And I think my idea of this has kind of changed as we're talking about it right here, but I was like, oh, she wants to work with Regina. Maybe she's going to pretend to be going back over, or not back, but going over to the dark side, like Regina's pretending to be going back over to the dark side. And that's why we've seen all the promo material and stuff. But
I had a very similar thought this episode, but the only thing that kept coming back to me every time I'd start to think maybe she's pretending was, but how would they believe that she's pretending to be evil? Like, their first inclination is going to be, she's pretending.
Right. And see, that's what I'm thinking, that, because the reality of it is, Snow and Charming put all this effort in to make sure Emma could never be bad, that she would always be good. And then they put in this effort to hide everything from her. Do you know what I mean? So I think all of that is going to end up backfiring on them.
Plus, it's a lot more interesting to have her really struggling with light and dark than, oh, she's just undercover, too.
Yeah. It's a much more interesting storyline for her, definitely. I guess we'll see when the time comes. All right, so Regina snags Pinocchio, and they bring him to the cabin in the woods. And basically, that's when Rumpel reveals himself to Regina, and he has his dagger, which I guess is a good time to talk about.
No. Never a good time to talk about this.
So as we know, Rumpel managed to get his dagger back from Belle because he disguised himself as Hook. Now, this leads to many different questions for me. One, was Rumpel Hook in the library with Snow and Charming and Emma when they meant to meet up with Regina? Although I don't think he was. Two, where's the real Hook during all of this? And three, what is Rumpel's endgame with all of the questions and stuff that he asked from Belle? There's so much going on there.
Yeah, my first question was, is this the only Hook in Storybrooke right now? Like, has he done something to Hook? Is Hook not around? And then that made me question the whole library scene. And, you know, and it makes me wonder if he felt comfortable enough to meet with Belle at Granny's and sit down in the booth, and he was actually Rumpel, not Hook, then that makes me think he knew where Hook was. He knew Hook wasn't going to come walking in.
Exactly.
So something is going on. Either he knew that Hook was taking a nap at somebody's house or something, or he has Hook and is pretending to be Hook all the time. And that scared me a bit. Because we all know last half of the season, him and Hook didn't exactly get along. So if he actually is under Rumpel's power somewhere, that's definitely not a good sign.
Yeah, I'm not okay with any of the above.
I just can't imagine what his end game is, though, because, like, once Belle finds out all about this, and I'm sure she will, she's going to be even angrier with him than she already was. How does he think that any of this is a good thing for his, like, future relationship with her?
I wonder if he only just decided to do this because he knows about Will and Belle. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if some of it's now it's going to be a whole different course than what he would have originally tried because he saw Belle with someone else.
Yeah, like, it made me wonder if his whole motivation for this was, fine, if she's going to move on, then I don't need her either, and I'm going to get what I need, and I'm going to do what I need. And then when he talked to her and kind of found out that she's not exactly moved on, she's just trying to embrace that he's not going to be back because he is evil. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's not really moving on. She's just kind of trying to make life happy, even though a lot of stuff is happening. Right. So
she's not dwelling in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think because she's not really over it, maybe he's not going to do what he originally was planning. Like, that's kind of where I left the episode was, okay, maybe Rumpel's not going to be totally evil towards Belle, which he may have been, thinking of doing when he walked into this situation.
But I think part of it, though, is that Rumpel still wants his happy ending. And I think his happy ending is Belle. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's delusional and it's not okay. But I think in the long run, his happy ending is still Belle. So I think maybe he's going to lay off Belle a little bit because he thinks he can still get her by rewriting the storybook.
So delusional, though.
But the lies. Yeah. Oh, the lies. Yeah, so I almost made my quote of this episode me yelling, "Stupid Rumpel, I hate you," because I got so mad at him when he turned from Hook into Rumpel. I screamed at the TV and I was like, maybe I'll make that my quote because this is ridiculous.
I was yelling too. When did you guys know that it was Rumpel and not Hook?
See, I thought it was odd the way Hook was acting with Will. Like, it didn't seem right. And the second he mentioned the dagger, I was like, that was not discussed. That is not part of the plan. No.
Okay, I was a little bit behind, like way behind, because it was as soon as she commanded Rumpel to come forward and nobody was there except for Hook, that's when I was like, oh no.
So, oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was even after that because when she commanded him to appear and he didn't, I'm sitting there thinking, is Hook that sly that he knew where she hid it, stole the dagger? And she has the imitation one, and Hook is actually playing one on all of them or something. Like, I, honest to God, thought that was what was going on. And then he smiles, and it just didn't feel right. And I was like, that's not Hook. It can't be Hook. And then he literally flipped into the other person. I was like, oh, thank God. So I was even slower than you, Karen. It's okay.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
See, and Hook has no reason to talk about the dagger with Belle. He has no reason to ask about it. So that's how I knew something was wrong. There's no reason for him to talk about it with her.
I was fashioning some crazy reason about keeping Emma safe and him wanting control of the Dark One, because if he had the dagger, then Emma would always be safer. So I, like, in my brain, I had totally made it make sense that he was scheming to get the dagger just so he'd have control. Not that he wanted to use it or anything horrible, but just so that he'd have it. And yeah, so I had convinced myself of that, but thank God it's not true.
All right, then. Oh, boy. All right. I think it was kind of funny the way he asked after Will. A, the way he interacted with Will in the diner, now that you know it's Rumpel and not and not Hook. And then B, how he, like, nonchalantly slips it into conversation with Belle as they're retrieving the dagger. I thought that was pretty funny.
Rumpel, you're not as sly as you think you are. Like, it's, you know, like, she might not see through you, but the rest of us do, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so obvious. Anyway, all right, so after the whole Rumpel situation, our last big reveal was that August was brought back. Only to be tortured, possibly. It happens. Yeah. But he's back. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what they do next week with August, because I don't really know if he knows anything that's relevant. Do you guys?
Well, it's a big question mark as to what he really does know about the author. He knows more than anybody else because he was able to take the book apart and add and subtract things for Emma. So he definitely knows more than anybody sitting in Storybrooke right now. But how much does he really know? Yeah, I don't think anybody knows.
Karen, thoughts?
Pretty much the same thing. I have a feeling that he's going to be able to offer them a clue, but I don't think he knows any specific details.
But if he could change pages for Emma, could he change pages for anyone?
Well, that's the thing. I couldn't remember. I mean, I need to go back and rewatch part of season one and, you know, get a good grip on what August was really doing. But did he change pages or did he add pages or move them? Like, I was trying to remember if he actually, like, crafted pages for them for the book.
He added them at the very least.
Okay. Because, like, it just seems odd if he can add them that he wouldn't have at least met the author. Because how else would he know how?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's so curious about the whole thing. Brittany, what do you think about August? Can he add pages? Can he manipulate the book? Or is he just kind of have random information?
I'm not really sure, because the pages that he added were different texture. So he can definitely add pages. But I don't know how they became part of the book without them actually. But the events of his life had to have happened. So I don't know who controls how they get changed, because when Emma and Hook went back in time, they just magically changed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd just be really curious to see what they think they can get from August in order to make the whole thing work. Because next week's episode looks pretty intense. I don't know. So what do you guys think? Seeing the preview that we saw them willingly torture or beginning to torture August, including Regina. And then we also saw Ursula getting into it with Hook, who I would presume is the real Hook. What do you guys think?
Oh, I didn't even think about that, but I assumed that it was the real Hook too. Yeah, because the thing is, the way that Rumple played it out, and the reason why now I don't think that he has, like, killed Hook or Hook's, like, locked up somewhere, is that he had Belle swear an oath that they wouldn't even talk about it to each other. So the real Hook's definitely going to come back. And I would assume that, yeah, maybe he was just, like, napping somewhere or something.
Maybe he put a sleeping curse on him for the afternoon or something. Random. Sigh.
Oh, boy. All right, so what do we have any more information on what it is that Hook has done to Ursula?
I don't think so, but next week it's going to be, it's called Poor Unfortunate Souls, shocker. And this is Poseidon's first appearance, so we're going to find out. I bet it has to do with something. The magical underworld of mer people.
Nice. So Karen will be excited and giddy because Poseidon will be on.
I'll be losing my mind because August is back and he's seriously one of my favorites. So I am ecstatic to just even have him on for an episode.
So it will be fangirling all around next week. Let's hope the episode is good.
I want August, Hook, and Will to be in a scene together.
Yes. I need this. That would be fabulous.
We're like, it's
I'm
just
sorry,
a little
sorry I've been so absent, but I was so let down with the Hook and Will storyline because that photo gave me so much hope. And then there was just nothing.
There was so much tension that I was like, I was really hoping for like more snark and I don't know.
Looking back, since it was Rumple, I'm glad we didn't get too much more.
Right.
Yeah.
But like really though, Michael Soka is so underused. He needs to be in more. Like, something. Can we give the guy a storyline? Anything? Like, I feel like he deserves it. I don't know.
Yeah, he did so much with so little, really, at Wonderland. He didn't really have a lot, but he did so much with what he had, and I just want to see him get a main tale. Like,
something.
Weave him into something here. Come on.
I still need to know what happens to the Red Queen.
I can't. Yeah, really. For sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be more done with his character. I feel like Storybrooke is so overpopulated, and then they just keep bringing on, like, the villain of, like, the half season, and it overshadows all the characters that they do have that they could use. So something is a little bit lost in that, I think, for me, sometimes.
That was not intentional pun, but it made me laugh.
Oh, I'm like, was it a pun? I didn't realize.
Lost, get it? Lost.
Oh, okay. Sure.
That was nice.
Alrighty then. Karen does love a good pun, what can I say? Alright, so do you guys have any predictions for next week's episode?
I need Emma to know what Hook did. And I assume that this is the episode that she's going to find out, not just us finding out. But I don't like it when they have secrets from each other.
What do you mean, what Hook did?
To Ursula.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm like, huh? Sorry. Totally. Yes. So you need everyone, basically, not only us, but Emma, to find out what happened with Ursula.
Right.
Got it. All right. Kristen, any thoughts? Any predictions?
Only that I really want whatever happened between Hook and Ursula to have been, like, Ursula introduced. Like, I don't want Hook to have sought her out to be mean. I want her to have done something to him and then him get her back for it or something like that.
You don't want him to be the bad guy is what you're trying to say.
I mean, he can do some nefarious stuff, but I don't like it when it comes from his heart. Like, I always feel like pirates, more often than not, are just kind of floating along happy to drink rum until somebody screws with them and then they get them back. So I don't want whatever happened between them to have been initiated by him. I want her to have done something and him to respond. Let's just hope for that.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. It's just weird.
Thinking. I like it. Brittany, how about you? Any predictions?
I know that it's probably not going to involve Ariel at all because Hook doesn't meet Ariel until that one weird flashback that we had. So I'm kind of glad that we're not going back into the Little Mermaid universe and they're kind of giving her own thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to, like, worry about having Ariel and Prince Eric involved or anything like that, because technically that was Regina's doing.
Right. So we're basically looking at the pure Ursula story, pre-Ariel.
And I'd like that because I love Ursula. She's one of my favorite cartoon villains. Not necessarily Once Upon a Time villains, but cartoon villains.
Do you think she'll have her two eels, Flotsam and Jetsam?
Oh, I hope so. Or they, like, give them to her in, like, a different way. Like,
yeah.
Like, or at least they're referenced. Like, you know how sometimes, like, they'll be, like, as part of, like, decoration or something?
Right.
Just, like, a nod to them. That would be cool.
That would be cool. I would like that. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be Hook did something bad, and this will be the start of Emma losing faith in people.
Aww.
I really do.
I don't like that.
Not that I like it, but I think that that's kind of the trend that we see with this sort of thing. So I think it's highly probable.
But was she throwing him into the water in the present day? Because he didn't look like he had his jacket on, like his long Hook jacket on in that promo that I saw for 5 seconds.
No, he was. It was present day. They were in the forest.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're in the forest. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I hope we get him in his pirate garb again, though, because I miss that jacket.
You're like, I'm missing the pirate garb for, like, months on end. We're like, can we get him out of the pirate garb? Now that he's out of it, we're like, can we get it back?
Just for a little bit.
We're a little indecisive. It happens. It's okay. You're allowed. All right. So do you guys have anything else for this episode? No? Okay. So next week, we will be back to discuss the upcoming episode and see what happens with Ursula and Hook and how everything plays out with August. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.